Thank you. Welcome to the November 9th, 2022 meeting of the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments. We are still meeting virtually, so if you do want to attend and participate in this meeting, you must use the Zoom webinar platform, or you can call during public comment one of the two telephone numbers listed on the front of the agenda. Staff will recognize you to speak at that time. Staff, can you take roll call, please?
Chair Clark.
Here.
Vice Chair Lewis.
Here.
Member Spalding.
Here.
Member Siebert.
Here.
Member Vovis.
Here.
Everyone present.
Thank you. Next is the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. There are no special announcements today other than a reminder that we are meeting virtually and we do use the Zoom webinar platform. So if you want to participate in the meeting, you must use the Zoom platform, or you can call one of the two phone numbers on the front of the agenda and staff will recognize you during public comment period. We do have an item on the consent calendar, and that is to adopt the findings authorizing remote teleconference meetings for the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments. We do this every 30 days. Are there any questions from the board to staff?
Will we be starting a new year with some kind of maybe hybrid or attendance in-person appearance at some point?
I don't believe so. I think they are trying to start something in February, and they want to have everybody begin the availability to call in and be present at the same time. So it won't begin in January from what I am been told.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a possibility for February.
Right. There's a possibility.
Well, good.
All right, thank you. I will open for public comment. Is there anybody who wants to speak on this item? It is on the consent calendar and authorizes for a period of 30 days that the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments will continue to meet virtually.
If you would like to speak on this matter, please raise your hand by hitting a little hand on the bottom of the screen or hit star 9 if you're on a telephone. I don't see any hands up.
I don't see any either. So I will close the public hearing. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt the findings authorizing remote teleconference meetings beginning November 9th for 30 days.
I'll second.
The motion is from Member Vovis with a second from Vice Chair Lewis to adopt staff's findings regarding the authorization of remote teleconference meetings for the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments for a period of 30 days. Staff, can you take the vote, please?
Chair Clark.
Aye.
Vice Chair Lewis.
Aye.
Member Spalding.
Aye.
Member Siebert.
Aye.
Member Vovis.
Aye.
Motion passes, 5 in favor, none opposed.
Thank you. Next on the agenda are tobacco retailer regulation administrative hearings, of which there are none. I did have a question real quick for County Council, though. In light of the new state law, will our ordinance be readdressed?
Well, I am not aware of any county-led efforts to modify our county ordinance, but I think as the weeks and months proceed, that might be considered.
Thank you.
What is being proposed, do we know?
Well, the new state law outlaws flavored tobacco for the entire state.
Oh, right. Was passed. But it might not go into effect until the beginning of the year anyway.
Yeah, so I was curious if how that would impact our county regulations. Okay, thank you. I guess that's something we'll have to check back on. Thank you. So next on the agenda are the Neighborhood Preservation and Zoning Ordinance Abatement Hearings. These are administrative hearings for the Neighborhood Preservation and Alameda County Zoning Ordinances. Items on today's agenda have been scheduled because the owner has not complied with a notice to abate a nuisance. As the enforcement body,
I'm back, Dawn.
Aired, removed, or demolished. Did I leave?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Can you repeat that preamble?
Yes. This is the Neighborhood Preservation and Zoning Ordinance Abatement Hearings. These are administrative hearings for the Neighborhood Preservation and Alameda County Zoning Ordinances. Items on today's agenda have been scheduled because the owner has not complied with a notice to abate a nuisance. As the enforcement body, we will hear and consider all relevant evidence, objections, or protests, and receive testimony as to the means of abating the alleged nuisance. For this board to find that a nuisance has been abated, the owner must show proof that the nuisance has been rehabilitated, repaired, removed, or demolished. If you cannot show proof of abatement, then we may find that a public nuisance does exist on your property and that there is sufficient cause to abate the nuisance. This board will then issue an order specifying the nature of the nuisance and the method of abatement. The abatement work must be commenced and completed in not less than 10 or more than 60 calendar days. The board's order will reference your right to appeal our decision. You will have 10 days from the date of service of the order to appeal to the Alameda County Board of Supervisors. A copy of the findings and order will be served on all owners of the property in the same manner that notice of this hearing was given. In addition, a copy of the findings and order will be posted on or near the property. Any fines imposed by this board may be reduced or waived upon a determination of hardship or special circumstances. Staff, first item, please.
Code enforcement is here to present the first item on the neighborhood preservation ordinance abatement hearing. Staff member, it looks like Holly Felix will be presenting.
Hello, I'm Holly Felix, Alameda County Zoning Investigator for agenda item one. Property address is 21106 Mission Boulevard, Hayward, California, 94541. APN number 414-0081-003-00. Violations of the Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance, section 6.65.030A1 and B6, and Alameda County Zoning Ordinance, section 70.40.020 and 17.40.130. Accumulation of discarded appliances and miscellaneous trash and debris throughout the property, and use of the property in a capacity that is not a permitted use, outdoor storage of appliances. The pertinent facts are, on September 21st, 2022, I performed a site visit and confirmed the violations. On September 23rd, 2022, a declaration of public nuisance notice to abate mailed to property owner. On October 6th, 2022, I performed a site visit and violations remain. On October 20th, notice of failed reinspection, final notice to abate, and notice of admin hearing mailed certified in regular mail to the property owner. The pertinent facts are, previous violations, yes, 13 cases under current owner since 2009. An abatement order was issued in 2021 and in 2018. They were abated by the owner. Additional abatement order was issued in 2013 and 2011, and they were abated by the county. I have had contact with the property owner. The property is not vacant. Staff recommendation is to declare the property is in violation of the Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance and Zoning Ordinance, and therefore require abatements to be completed within 10 days and or commence assessing fines and fees. Exhibit number one, exhibit two, exhibit three, four. These are all from the first inspection. These are all Jerry's appliances. This is from the re-inspection on October 6th. And then I was there on Monday, November 7th, and they have made some progress. And that concludes my presentation.
Hello, this is Ed Labayak, Alameda County Code Enforcement Manager. The next case you're going to see is also is related to this case as well, as adjacent to it with the same property owner. I'm not sure if you want to hear them together or separately.
You've noticed them separately, so.
Yeah, I think we've done this before, and County Council says we can hear about the items, but we have to make separate decisions. Is that correct, County Council?
That's correct. And I would recommend that if you, when you get to the second hearing, if you want to, you know, incorporate by reference any of this discussion from the first hearing, you'll just need to explicitly state that you're doing that so people know to check the record for both hearings.
Thank you.
So would you like to hear the case first before you deliberate, or you want to?
Yeah, I think go ahead with the second one, and then we'll just have to make sure to be clear about which one we're making reference to with motions and direction to staff.
Okay, we'll do that.
So this is agenda item 2 for property address 21098 Mission Boulevard, Hayward, California, 94541. APN number 414-0081-002-00. Violations of the Alameda County Preservation Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance, section 6.65.030A1 and B6, and Alameda County Zoning Ordinance, section 17.40.020 and 17.40.130. Accumulation of discarded appliances and miscellaneous trash throughout the property, use of the property in a capacity that is not a permitted use, which is outdoor storage. The pertinent facts are September 21st, site visit, confirmed violation. September 23rd, declaration of public nuisance, notice to abate, mailed to the property owner. October 6th, 2022, site visit, violations remain. October 20th, 2022, notice of failed reinspection and final notice to abate and notice of admin hearing mailed, regular and certified mail to the property owner. Previous violations, yes. 13 cases under current owner since 2009. Abatement order issued in 2021 and 2018, abated by owner. Abatement order issued in 2013 and 2011, abated by the county. I've had contact with the property owner. The property is vacant, and the staff recommendation is to declare the property is in violation of Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance, and therefore a public nuisance and require abatement to be completed within 10 days and or commence assessing fines and fees. Exhibit number 1 from the first inspection. This is a vacant lot. It just has an accumulation of appliances and trash and debris throughout the entire parcel. This is back towards the creek section. These are inspection pictures from October 6th, Exhibit 7, Exhibit 8, and Exhibit 9, Exhibit 10. And then I was there on Monday, November 7th. They've made progress. And these are the items that remain. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Questions of staff? Member Spaulding?
No, I'll wait until after the public hearing, the public testimony.
Member Vovis?
Maybe staff can just do a quick clarification. I noticed on both items 1 and 2, the violations have to do with permitted use. So in a vacant and not vacant, I just want a little clarification on what's permitted in either case.
Not allowed to store the appliances outside. It's not outdoor storage.
Outdoor storage.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that helps. Thank you.
Well, that also leads to a question of what is the zoning for this property?
One moment.
It's in the east drive, yeah. We're getting there.
That's fine.
Okay. It's
I'm just not sharing that specific.
Yeah. Eden.
Ashland.
Medium density.
It's in the Eden General Plan area.
Yeah.
Right. It's, I think, identified as Cherryland.
Yes.
And also, but I just want to confirm on what the zoning is. Commercial, I gather. This is an appliance store, or this is all behind the appliance store?
That is correct. It's all behind the appliance store.
Okay. The site is technically within the Ashland and Cherryland Business District specific plan, and it's designated CMU hyphen, so allows for secondary use of residential. CMU, corridor mixed use residential is allowed as a secondary use. And it also appears to be an auto overlay district, which allows auto uses allowed by right.
Okay.
Thanks, Christine. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Member Siebert?
I no questions at this time. Thank you.
Sure. Vice Chair Lewis? Oh, you're muted.
Was there any progress on the first parcel? I know Holly said there was and showed progress on the second one, but any progress on the first one?
Yes, they have made progress. I can see asphalt now.
Okay, all right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions of staff? All right, I will open the public hearing and we will, I guess, allow public comment on both, but if you have a distinction between 21106 Mission Boulevard and 21098 Mission Boulevard, please state that during your public comment. So staff, can you recognize the first speaker, please?
If you are here to speak on either neighborhood preservation matter regarding 21106 Mission and or 21098 Mission Boulevard, please raise your hand. Star 9 or raise your hand at the bottom of the screen.
Is anyone here to speak on these items under neighborhood preservation and zoning ordinance hearings? Mm-hmm. 21106 Mission Boulevard, 21098 Mission Boulevard and Cherryland area of Hayward.
I have one hand raised. Kelly, you are allowed to speak.
Yeah, it's interesting how the county seems to be so hell-bent on enforcing Mission Boulevard over here in the Cherryland area. And this is right next to an appliance store. So they've got permits or whatever. They're operating an appliance business right there, right up against the road. An appliance, used appliances and repair. So this is their inventory and it's right next door to their store and they're paying whatever. They're apparently, I guess they have permits for running that store. You know, just look around. this thing. Let's start with what the Public Works Agency ought to be doing out there. If you look at the street, you know, look at the pavement. Look at the pavement is falling apart. There's cracks. There's it's like buckling and stuff on the curb. So, you know, maybe you could, when you're out there and you happen to notice that the streets are falling apart and the pavement condition index is lousy, maybe you could get the Public Works Agency out there to fix our streets. And then if you talk to the planning department, you know, the left hand, obviously the county doesn't know what the right hand is doing. The planning department is in charge of these giant billboards, and there's a giant billboard, you know, 30 feet, 50 feet in the air, right between the appliance store and these, you know, giant, ugly parking lots full of, you know, used appliance junk or lots or residential lots, whatever these things are. And it's funny how the big difference between how the West County Board operates and the East County Board. East County Board had a, you know, lovely rural parcel out there, you know, outside of Livermore in the middle of nowhere. And they put dozens of cars, old junk cars, a couple of dozen of them all scattered across their property. They came in, said, I need these for my business. I run a car repair operation. And then they said, oh, we're going to build. We're going to build a structure to a warehouse to house these things. And it's going to be big enough to house 1/10 of them or 1/5 of them or 1/20 of them. And the board members all, of course, believed in this 100%. They were buying into this story about the warehouse, and it gave them another 6-month extension or God knows how long, very long extension to go out and build a warehouse that would never be able, that is physically incapable of holding all those cars. So why don't you just let this guy go and build a little warehouse, a big warehouse that will hold all these junk appliances, and be fair to this guy like you are with the people who claim to be operating used car junkyards out there in the East County. You know, this whole neighborhood is a junkyard. It all needs to be cleaned up. And it's not just what's going on inside these parcels. It's your billboards. It's your buckled streets. It's your sidewalks. The whole thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff, next speaker, please.
If you would like to speak on either matter under the neighborhood preservation ordinance, abatement hearings for 21106 Mission and or 21098 Mission Boulevard, please raise your hands.
I don't see any other speakers. I will close the public hearing.
We don't have the property owner here, obviously, I gather.
I don't know. I don't.
Well, maybe staff might, code enforcement might be aware.
Well, they've spoken before.
They spoke, but yeah. I don't know if they would recognize the attendees.
If they would do what? Can you repeat that?
They recognize the attendees.
Just tell them to talk.
Hello, this is Holly Felix. I spoke with the property owner, business owner on Monday, and he did not identify that he would be present today.
Okay.
And I did discuss his options with him, that he should speak with a planner in regards to the outdoor storage and what can be done with the vacant lots. And I do not believe he has pursued that opportunity to talk to the planning department to find out what he can do with the parcel. And we also discussed that with him at last hearing. Thank you.
Any other questions of staff before there's a motion?
So did you close the public hearing?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Chair Clark, that's the close of the public hearing for both items 1 and 2?
Yes.
Both of the items, thank you.
So yeah, this is definitely a mess. As far as the street outside and Public Works, I think that has to be addressed to Public Works. Many of us have also complained to Public Works about their poor maintenance in that area. So among the many here complaints, but right now what we have before us is the what has been identified as the quote junkyard, close quote. So I'll make a motion to adopt staff's recommendation to find the property is in violation of the neighborhood preservation ordinance, a public nuisance, and require abatement to be completed in 10 days and or commence assessing fines and fees.
Which property is that motion for?
That's for the first property, 21106 Mission Boulevard.
Thank you.
I'll second.
There is a motion by Member Spalding with a second from Member Vovis, adopting staff's recommendation regarding 21106 Mission Boulevard in Hayward, declaring that the property is in violation of the Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance, a public nuisance, and requiring abatement to be completed within 10 days and or commence assessing fines and fees. Is that the motion and the second?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Staff, can you take the vote, please?
Who can I ask who made the second? I missed it.
Member Vovis.
Oh, thank you.
Code enforcement manager, could we also add a violation of the zoning ordinance for the improper use of the parcel, please?
Staff recommendations is inaccurate.
Was that noticed as part of the notice?
Yes, yes. It's staff recommendation should say Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance and zoning ordinance.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to amend my motion to add, so it's consistent with the rest of staff's recommendation, is that it's in violation of the Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance and zoning?
Yes.
And zoning requirements.
The modification to the motion, does the second accept?
Yes.
Okay. I will reread the motion. There is a motion by Member Spalding with a second from Member Vovis, declaring the property at 21106 Mission Boulevard in Hayward in violation of the Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance and Alameda County Zoning Ordinance, therefore a public nuisance and requiring abatement to be completed within 10 days and or commencing assessing fines and fees. Is that the new motion and second?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Staff, can you take the vote, please?
Chair Clark?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lewis?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Member Siebert?
Aye.
Member Vovis?
Aye.
Motion passes, 5 in favor, none opposed.
Thank you. Is there a motion on the next item, next address?
I'll make that motion for item number 21098 Mission Boulevard. To follow staff recommendation, declare the property in violation of Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance and the Alameda County Zoning Ordinance, and require abatement to be completed in 10 days or commence assessing fines and fees.
Second.
Okay. The motion is from Member Vovis with a second from Vice Chair Lewis, declaring the property at 21098 Mission Boulevard in Hayward, violation of the Alameda County Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance and Zoning Ordinance, a public nuisance, and requiring abatement to be completed within 10 days and or commence assessing fines and fees. Is that the motion and the second?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Staff, can you take the vote, please?
You're muted.
Yeah, sorry. Just a point of clarification, the first one was 21098, the second one 21106.
It's reversed.
And
okay, then we reversed it. Okay. As long as that's clear on the record.
Yeah.
This is the different one.
Wouldn't want them to claim the same one twice.
Exactly. Bingo.
Oh, yeah. Item number two.
Right.
So do we need, are we good on which property we're making a motion on?
Yes, item number two.
Right, okay. All right. So staff, can you take the vote, please?
Chair Clark?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lewis?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Member Siebert?
Aye.
Member Vovis?
Aye.
Motion passes, 5 in favor, none opposed.
Thank you. And that concludes the Neighborhood Preservation and Zoning Ordinance Abatement Hearings. Next are Alcoholic Beverage Sale Regulation Administrative Hearings. Today there are none. Next is open forum on the agenda. If anybody would like to address the board on an item that is not on today's agenda, you may request to speak at this time. It looks like we have a speaker.
Kelly, I will allow you to speak.
All right, thank you. If you look at the top of this agenda, it's kind of a mystery to me. What does this mean? It says that this is a special meeting agenda. So does this mean that this is a special meeting? And I don't see, reading this agenda, I've read a few of these agendas before, and you guys have probably read a heck of a lot of these agendas before. I don't see what makes this agenda so special. You know, is it urgent thing that made this special and required you to your staff to designate this as a special meeting? You know, there's some legal requirements, some legal, I hope you have lawyers around. You know, there are legal definitions of what makes a meeting special. And, you know, one of the things that government agencies would like to do is they'd like to designate all the meetings to be special. You know why? Because then you only need to post the agendas about 25 hours or 24 hours in advance. And then, you know, if you had people who were interested in the thing, you could kind of hide from them. You know, they wouldn't hear about it because they'd only have 24 hours to respond. If you post the thing ahead, maybe you could post it at, you know, on Sunday morning at 1 a.m. and meet the requirement or something. That might be the smart thing to do to really hide out and have all the meetings be special. You know, this what is going on here? Thanks.
Thank you. Does County Council have a comment?
Chair Clark, do you have a question for me?
Yes. Are we running afoul of the law by designating this a special meeting?
Under the Brown Act, public hearing bodies are to designate a regular time and place for their meetings. So if you're meeting other than at the regular time and place, that would be considered a special meeting. So my understanding is that the 72 hours notice for regular meetings has still been met, but I believe this regular meeting would otherwise have been at 6 p.m. And held in the public hearings room.
Okay, so basically it's because of the video and the time of the 1:30.
And the time.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else for open forum that's on an item that is not on today's agenda? All right. Seeing no one, we'll move on to the field trip report, of which there is none. So we will begin the regular calendar whenever staff is ready.
Okay. The first item on the regular calendar is PLN 2022. Number 5, a conditional use permit, and we have staff planner William Chin here to present the item.
Good afternoon, board members. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. This is a conditional use permit, PLN 2022-0005, to allow for a new freestanding DISH wireless telecommunications facility. The property owner is John P.X. Soto and Christy, and the agent is Qualtech Wireless for DISH Wireless. The location is at 7401 Hollis Canyon Road in Castro Valley. The zoning is agriculture and within the resource management general plan and categorically exempt from the requirements of California Environmental Quality Act, Article 19, Section 15303, Class 3, new construction or conversion of small structures. This Application was heard by your board on October 12th, 2022. The West County Board of Zoning Adjustments continued the application to provide the applicant time to explore other camouflage techniques for the new facility with the possibility of having a broadleaf slow tree instead of proposed popsicle stick design, provide additional live landscaping, and provide a landscape plan for further screening of the facility, and request the difference between coverage between faux trees versus exposed antenna design. The applicant has provided additional camouflage facility, including painting the monopole, painting the antennas, including antenna socks to match the surrounding vegetation color, and also provide camouflage materials for the fencing as well. The landowner is opposed to adding additional landscaping around the facility as there is no water source that can be connected for irrigation. And also the landowner stated that this is for the land is used for grazing of livestock. The applicant did provide photo simulations from viewpoints of 580, which indicates that the proposed facility would not be visible from the highway. The minimum, the applicant did provide information regarding if it were to propose a tree design, it would be a minimum height of 45 feet, which would be visible from the highway. And it would also increase the height of this facility as well. This is the project description with no changes from the previous, with little change from the previous application or the previous what was presented to the board previously. There will be antennas, a singular antenna on area one and two antennas on area two. And the height of the poles remain the same at 15 feet, 4 inches, matching the existing adjacent Verizon wireless site. And this is the location of the proposed areas, one to the right-hand side of the existing Verizon site, and then one monopole at towards the west side of the Verizon site. This is the proposed camouflage and color of the antennas and also the fencing around the area. This is a viewpoint from the top of the hill looking west. And this is looking northwest. And then this is the view from Dublin Canyon Road. As you can see here, these are all the existing Verizon antennas. And per the applicant, the proposed new monopole sitting at 15 feet, 4 inches will not be visible from this view. There are also additional simulations provided in Exhibit B in the packet as well, which includes the street view from I-580 going west and east. This is within the Cascabel General Plan Resource Management, which allows public and quasi-public uses. Telecom facilities are considered a quasi-public use, providing connectivity for emergency services and cell services. It is within the agricultural zoning district and reference is directed to the telecom policy approved by the board. The telecom policy indicates that the CUP, approved CUPs are permitted for telecom facilities assigned from the highway districts and the PD districts that specific prohibits the use. The subject facility is not within the highway district. The Verizon facility is within 1,000 feet of the proposed dish facility. The county encourages co-location or concentration of facilities into one area. The proposed monopoles are within a maximum height limit for freestanding facilities and matches the height of the Verizon facility. The antennas, equipment pole, and fencing will be painted and camouflaged with the color of the existing vegetation. These are the tentative findings. The use is required by the public need as it provides necessary communication services and also 5G connectivity for both emergency and cell phone services. the use is properly related to the other land uses, transportation and services facilities within the vicinity. The use, if permitted under all circumstances and conditions of the particular case, will not materially affect adversely the health of persons residing or working in the vicinity, or be materially detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to the public, the property or improvements in the neighborhood. The use will not be contrary to specific intent clauses or performance standards established for the district, which it is to be considered. The application is consistent with the policies addressed in the Alameda County Development Standards for siting of telecommunication facilities adopted by the board. Staff recommends approval and will revise conditions, any additional conditions and recommendations based on the board's comments and concerns. The draft resolution in the meeting packet includes the findings, approval descriptions, and conditions for the board to review and discuss in making your decision. There are a few corrections that need to be addressed in the resolution. It will be update to condition number 17, which references condition of number 13, but it is supposed to reference condition 16 instead for restoration. And then the new condition will be added regarding the compliance with all laws and regulations. So that would be a new condition. And that is the end of my presentation. I can go back to any other visuals that the board wants to have on screen. I am available for any questions. And also the applicant is in the audience as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, Member Vovis?
No, I don't have any questions. I think it was helpful that they added the photo simulation T5 and T6. I think that helps answer some concerns. That's all I have.
Thank you. Member Siebert?
Liam, can you verify the total height of these poles again?
Yes, they're sitting at 15 feet, 4 inches.
And then on the proposal, the scope of the works is install 2 20-foot monopoles. Is that changed, or am I reading that incorrectly?
In the scope of work on the front page of the plan?
It's kind of where the emails are, right before the plans. It's the letter, the application letter.
It's January 12, 2022.
Yeah, so that letter was not updated. The project description listed in the exhibit is the correct scope of work.
Okay. Thank you.
These are standing at 15 feet 4 inches, not 20 feet.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you. Vice Chair Lewis.
Did I read someplace where they're gonna paint the equipment along with having a screening, the camo screening, paint it like camo color or dirt color?
Yes, so they'll be painting the monopole itself and the antennas in that brown earth tone colorway. Okay. And then the fencing itself will be with that camouflage of green and earth tone.
Sort of a fabric or a mesh, whatever it is. Yeah, okay, great, yeah. Thanks.
That's in the photo simulation.
Yeah. But I was just wondering about the painting. I don't think I just wanted to make sure I was reading that correctly.
Member Spaulding, questions of staff?
What about the ability, is that to require the initial one? This one is by Dish. Who owns the facility next to it?
Verizon? Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that this is an improvement over what it was.
And the Verizon facility will be expiring in 2.5 years.
Okay, well, I would expect that might help matching some of the camouflage, including the fencing, rather than being the bright white beacon. Okay, and then as far as the property owners having objections towards landscaping because of the water issue, there's cattle grazing. The cattle do graze among landscaping, you know, but we know they can trample things too.
Yeah. But
at the same time, there can be some temporary fencing set up.
Well, water's an issue too, to try to get a tree started. I can surely appreciate that.
Right. Well, with this, you probably would have to bring the truck in.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you. Any other follow-up questions from members of the board? All right, let's go ahead and open the public hearing. If we could start with the applicant, please, staff.
If you're the applicant for item number one, I don't see your name on the application. It's Derek Turner. Okay, Derek Turner, thank you for raising your hand. You are allowed to speak. You get to unmute yourself.
Hello. Hi, my name is Derek, representing Dish Wireless for this proposed cellular telecommunications facility. William pretty much outlined everything that we had to say. We definitely improved the design. I wanted to add, we also lowered the RRUs, which are the radio units, to the ground, that we're also adding to the bulkness of the antenna look on the top. So we made it a little bit thinner at the base. And so, you know, the overall design is slimmed down. It's painted to match the back. It really does blend into the background now. We did a visual drive-by, and both sides of the highway, it's not visible. The only spot that would be visible would be the very tips of the Verizon antennas. The way the landscape of the hill is designed, our main equipment area is offset about 5 feet from the Verizon site. So that equipment area is not visible, neither is antenna. And then the other sector that has two antennas on it is offset in a way that is not visible from the highway either. So the landscape is, you know, very unobstructed, and we feel confident that this is a very appropriate design for the area.
Any questions, Member Vovis?
I don't have any questions.
Member Siebert?
No questions, thank you.
Member Spaulding?
No, just that it's an improvement.
Vice Chair Lewis?
No questions.
I have none, thank you. Do we have any other speakers for this item?
If anybody would like to speak on the regular calendar, item number one, PLN 2022, number five, a conditional use permit located at 7401 Hollis Canyon Road, please raise your hand. Star nine will raise your hand, and the little hand at the bottom of the screen will raise your hand. I do not see any hands up.
Except for Williams. Williams got his hand up.
Oh.
Not a member of the public.
Yeah.
I just have additional comments to make for the resolution.
Okay, let me go ahead then and close the public hearing. And then, go ahead. Go ahead, William.
Just so we can ensure that the concealment is included in the resolution itself, to be more specific. So the colors, antenna socks, and all fencing, et cetera, there will be more specifics written in under the authorization section, and to make sure that they're installed as well as maintained properly.
Where are you talking about?
What? Under the resolution, the page two. So we'll basically add an extra sentence including that the colors, any additional camouflage, antenna socks, and placement of cords and other equipment and similar design elements is sufficient to conceal the equipment on the monopoles.
You mean you want us to make a finding that it's sufficient to conceal it?
No, we're adding an extra sentence just to solidify that the antennas and antenna socks, et cetera, will be concealed through the.
Well, I'm looking at 11, number of general condition number 11.
I think, William, are you referring to the top of page 3 on the resolution?
Under the authorization section. So it basically.
Well, it says right now it says in earth tone colors to blend the surrounding landscape. In diesel located within 16 link fence. So do you have a specific sentence to modify that?
Or he's not on condition 11. He's under authorization.
I know he's on the top of page 3.
No, he's on under authorization. Where are we supposed to be?
At the top of page 3.
It's in the same section. Yeah. They're all under authorization.
Okay.
But yes, top of page 3.
You want to page top of page 3. Okay.
Basically adding that it should be maintained. Isn't that it, William?
Yeah, so it'll be installed and maintained. And then any future modifications will be painted and matched to the surrounding area and the earth tone paint, et cetera.
If I can add, I think this is just meant to clarify what the concealment elements are of the design. So right now it just talks about painting, but the other concealment elements, including the fencing and et cetera, right, are also part of the approval. And one of the reasons why it would be important to add those details is because certain modifications must be approved if they're minor modifications, but we want to make sure, or the county may have an interest in making sure that that kind of modification, if it were to happen at a later date, you know, and it has to be approved by right, that it doesn't negatively impact those concealment elements. So for example, if someone wanted to add 10 feet to this tower or 4 feet to this tower, but they didn't want to paint it, this adding these concealment elements more clearly into the conditions would indicate that any of those modifications have to stay consistent with the concealment elements that are included today.
Okay, so how about if we put at the antenna shall be painted in earth tone colors to blend the surrounding landscape as shown on exhibit B. And then period, all equipment, cabinets, and a diesel power generator shall be concealed and will be located within the concealed fence perimeter, the concealed and painted fence perimeter by 6 chain link fences and will access gate within the lease area. The facility shall be consistent with the materials labeled exhibit B received October 28th. Is that sufficient?
I think that's great. I would maybe just add where you said concealed, I would say, you know, concealed with colors mimicking the surroundings, including earth tones. That's because I think that's what we're really talking about in terms of the concealment here.
All right.
Well, and then William was also suggesting that future modifications will be matched to paint and concealment elements.
Yeah.
That's what I go to number 11. It says it's here for the life.
I think this should also be in condition 11.
Yeah.
That it, whatever is here should also be copied over to condition 11.
Right, okay.
And then add that it shall be installed and properly maintained.
Properly installed. Consistent with the authorization.
Yeah.
That's kind of incorporating it.
Yeah, I think that's good. You don't have to reread the whole thing, but.
Right, exactly. Okay. Is that sufficient, staff, with 11 if we make it consistent with the authorization?
Yes.
Well, I'm ready to make a motion if anybody else is.
Yeah, any other questions, Member Siebert, or comments?
No.
Member Vovis?
No.
Vice Chair Lewis?
None.
Okay. All right, yep, go. We're ready for that motion.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to adopt staff's recommendation to allow for a new freestanding DISH wireless telecommunications facilities with the following modifications. The authorization, the first full paragraph or the second full paragraph, which is present on the top of page 3 of 6, to modify that sentence to provide that antennae shall be painted in earth tone colors to blend in with the surrounding landscape as shown on exhibit B, period. All equipment cabinets and a diesel powered generator shall be concealed with colors consistent with the surroundings and will be located within the concealed fenced, the concealed and painted fenced perimeter by 6 chain link fences with access gate within the lease area. The facility shall be consistent with materials labeled on exhibit B received October 28, 2022. Also to modify condition number 11 to provide that the antenna socks, comma, earth tone paint and camo colored fencing shall be properly installed and maintained for the life of this conditional use permit consistent with this authorization.
Request for one amendment is to add to the changes to the top of page 3 under authorization that all future modifications will be matched to paint and concealment elements.
Okay. And all or any future modifications. Also, equally, are consistently painted, are painted and consistent with.
Also, the new condition regarding compliance with laws and regulations.
Number 17.
No, yes. It's a new
condition.
The new, it's the Heather condition.
You mean that's number 17?
No, there'll be a new one in addition.
And that new condition is?
The new condition is the compliance with laws and regulations.
Right, I thought that was 17 that you had on the screen.
No. The 17 is referencing a incorrect previous condition. So under 17, under project guarantee, in the middle of the paragraph, it reads as, if the owner or leasee does not remove any obsolete or unused facilities as described in condition 13, the condition 13 should be condition 16 and not 13.
Okay, that's as you had put on the screen, isn't that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so then also the motion includes to modify condition number 17 consistent with the proposal by staff as presented. How about that? Is that adequate?
Yes, thank you.
And then a new condition number 20, which is the Heather condition. That this application must comply with all federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Is that the condition?
I thought that was part of 17. That's why I keep going back to the screen.
No,
it's a different one.
So strike expiration.
Yeah, make that 21.
What do you mean make it 21? We haven't added.
So may have a new 20 and then expiration will be 21.
Okay. All right. And so the motion also includes adding a new condition number 20. So to require that the project be consistent with all state and federal regulations. Am I correct? Or is that?
And local.
And local, if we have any.
All right, is that your motion?
Yes.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
There is a motion from Member Spaulding with a second from Member Vovis to approve conditional use permit PLN 2022-00005 with modifications to the authorization, the second paragraph as stated by the motion maker, to condition number 11 to incorporate the changes from the authorization into condition number 11, changing condition number 17 to reference condition number 16 instead of condition 13, creating a new condition 20 that requires this project and the applicant to comply with all local, state, and federal laws and regulations, and then the expiration would be the condition 21. Is that the motion and the second?
Yes.
Yes.
Heather?
No further comments from me.
Okay, thank you. Staff, can you take the vote, please?
Chair Clark?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lewis?
Aye. Aye.
Member Spaulding?
Aye.
Member Vovis?
Aye.
Member Siebert?
Aye.
Motion passes, 5 in favor, none opposed.
Thank you. If anybody would like to appeal a decision from the Alameda, from the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments, you must file your appeal within 10 days to the Alameda County Board of Supervisors. Last item on the regular calendar, please, staff.
The second item on the regular calendar is PLN 2021-254. It's a general plan amendment, a rezoning, and a variance application. And I will be presenting the application. Are you guys seeing my screen?
Yes.
Okay. I think I push you guys over here. Okay. Oh, now I'm covering you guys up, huh? Okay. So this is the applicant, PLN 2021-254. The applicant is George Chevron Studio 4 Architecture. The owner is Lakeside Green LP. The location of the site is 1446 A Street, northwest corner of Ruby Street in Castro Valley. The general plan is, the project is requesting a general plan amendment from residential low density multifamily to neighborhood commercial. The second request is requesting a rezoning from four family dwelling district to neighborhood commercial. And the variance is asking for 15 parking spaces where 40 are required. The proposal would allow remodeling of existing vacant building to be used for neighborhood commercial uses, which would include a restaurant, cafe, offices, and outdoor seating. However, the project currently has deficient number of parking spaces as required by the zoning ordinance. Both the general plan and the zoning district do not allow for commercial uses. Approval of both a general plan amendment and a rezoning are required for any commercial use to operate at this location. Here's an aerial view of the subject parcel with the existing building at its location and surface parking located on the side. This matter was discussed at the Parks Recreation Historical Commission on November 3rd. It was an informational item. It was not acted on, but the commission was in support of the project. since the brick front facade was being maintained. They encouraged bicycle parking to be provided on the site. And they also wanted to work with the owner with possibly exploring options of naming the building and options with a placement of a plaque on the building to identify that the building was historically used for an egg hatchery. Here are the current elevations of the project proposal. The current general plan is residential low density multifamily. The request would be to allow an amendment to the current general plan designation from residential to commercial to allow for convenience stores, small restaurants, hair salons. And the general plan is silent when it is referring to office use for the neighborhood commercial designation. However, it's typically considered a complementary use to neighborhood commercial uses. The current zoning of four-family dwelling district would be rezoned to commercial neighborhood, which would allow for restaurants, cafe, and office uses. The CN district does not allow for outdoor uses. However, the county has adopted a new application process called an administrative minor use permit, which can be approved for outdoor seating when in conjunction with the permitted use. Therefore, the applicant could apply for that application process once the restaurant was up and running. Both the general plan and the rezoning applications would be acted on by the Planning Commission and the Alameda County Board of Supervisors after the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments would make an action on the variance portion of the project. Today, before the Board of Zoning Adjustments is the variance, and it is requesting 15 parking spaces where 40 are required with the remodeling of an existing legal nonconforming building. The building was built in 1939 and is known to be occupied by commercial uses prior to the zoning being adopted for the subject site. Here is the project's proposal's site plan identifying the parking layout. The zoning ordinance requires one parking space for every 60 square feet of floor space for the restaurant use, and one parking space for every 250 square feet for office uses. The project would result in 40 required parking spaces. The project is proposing 15 parking spaces, and the zoning ordinance does not allow for any compact parking spaces. Staff is recommending that the Board of Zoning Adjustments approve the variance application to allow 15 parking spaces where 40 are required and to adopt the categorical exemption for the California Environmental Quality Act for existing facilities, the common sense, and historical resource sections. That concludes staff's presentation for this item.
Thank you. Questions, Member Siebert?
No questions. Thank you.
Member Vovis?
I have a few. Maybe you can tell me, where are the bike racks for? Is it on the site plan? Bike racks, motorcycle parking, alternative parking?
I don't believe it is on the current site plan. It was on a previous version, but this matter was just discussed at the PRHC on Thursday, and the packet is mailed out prior to that.
Okay. Yeah, I wondered how much bicycle parking there would be, if there's any motorcycle stalls with any odd spaces here, you know, how to achieve more parking. So that was one question. I wondered if the tree out on Ruby Street is going to be removed. And same with the pole and service drop on that corner. I'm saying this because I think you could probably get two or three cars parked along there without the tree and the pole if it's going to be replaced.
I do not know that. I can ask the applicant if they're, you know, if they're able to join us and speak on the matter.
Yeah. Also, I was out there myself looking at what other parking there really is, and along Ruby Street that we don't really see on the site plan here. Along the what is that, a vacant lot behind or along Ruby Street? There's probably easily a dozen places to park along that street, even though it does, it won't have a new curb and gutter or anything. It's got an asphalt curb, no walk, but there's still those are, that's not a no parking zone, is it?
It is not a no parking zone. There is a development application that was approved by the planning department that plans on constructing multi-residential units, so that frontage will be required to be improved if that development is constructed and completed and implemented.
I see. But at this point, that would still be public parking along that street.
Correct.
Okay. All right, that's helpful. Thank you. That's all I have.
Member Spaulding?
Under the historical analysis, it says that at this time, the plans propose to maintain the brick on the facade. The project will be referred to PRHC for the review and recommendation. If PRHC determines the building's potentially historic, then there will need to be a CEQA initial study to determine the impacts of the remodel. You say that hasn't happened yet?
No, this matter was discussed at the PRHC last week. So that was written and into the staff report prior. It was prior to it being discussed by that commission.
And the commission determined what exactly?
That it's not an historical, it's not on their list of historical significance or any registered documents that it's historically sanctioned. Therefore, it's not needed further environmental review. They would like to support the project, provided that bicycle parking is provided. And they also want to encourage a plaque or help name the building with some type of naming that would help keep the conversation open as to what this building historically was used for. But at this time, they don't have parameters as to what type of plaque, what should be on the plaque, size of the plaque, material of the plaque. So they're working with that process, you know, which takes some time.
Okay. Why are we hearing this variance on a project that has not been approved yet?
Because it's how the zoning ordinance is written, is that the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments acts on variance applications, while the Planning Commission will make a recommendation to the Alameda County Board of Supervisors for an action on the rezoning and general plan amendment portion of the project.
Right, but my question is why isn't the zoning being heard first or determined first?
Seems backwards.
Right. Rather than having a variance on something that has not been approved yet.
The project would not be able to be approved with deficient parking.
Okay, so you're saying that the variance is being required first because the project has deficient parking, and so therefore there must be a determination on the parking first?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Vice Chair Lewis?
I'm glad someone's finally doing something with this building. It's been in bad repair for years, so I think this looks good. I don't have any questions.
I had a question. I was a little bit confused about the circulation because it appears that there's going to be either an exit or entrance or both onto A Street, but in another drawing, it's used for parking. So is there only one entrance and exit? Just only one curb cut?
There will be a curb cut off of Ruby Street to access the parking.
Okay. And then I had some thoughts about the plaque. I worked in a building in Emeryville that was considered historic. It's on Park Street. It's one of these brick buildings. And if there is a requirement to move forward, I would actually suggest the plaque not be on the outside of the building, but rather somewhere on the inside with the lobby to prevent damage, you know, things of that nature, graffiti. And it's actually quite interesting if they could even, like in my case, in the building that I worked in, there was a plaque and then there were some historical photos of the building itself. It was actually quite interesting.
Oh yeah.
And this building is proposed to have a lobby too. So that's just my suggestion on that point. And then I had another, I think we have a lot of questions about the parking. I was wondering if there had been some consideration of moving the, finding another place for the dumpster that maybe could allow for more parking. And I think Member Vovis's suggestion that there be some type of smaller spaces that are either for bicycles or motorcycles can also sort of help with the parking deficiency.
I'm not sure if the trash enclosure was considered in a different location. I know the applicant has been working with staff to get the total number of parking spaces. The issue with providing smaller parking spaces is it would have had to also be considered as part of the variance request. This initially went to the Castro Valley Municipal Advisory Council for a recommendation direction if and the plan included compact parking spaces. So it was going to request a lack of required and lack of size of parking spaces. And it was suggested by the Castro Valley Council that we or the project stick to standard parking spaces since that's what the governing document supports.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any other questions of staff? Okay, let's open the public hearing and staff, we could start with our first speaker, the applicant, if the applicant is present.
Okay. John, okay, I see George. Okay, so I'm going to allow John to speak. John, you can speak.
Hello, everyone. I was just raising my hand to let you guys know I was here and then really quickly on the tree. I think the tree is not on our property. We reached out to some vendors to trim the tree when we first acquired it, and they were very hesitant. They didn't want to touch it. So if the tree went away, I'm fine with it, but I don't think that's ours.
Do we know, staff? Is it in the right of way?
I do not know.
Well, even if it's in the right of way, don't we require that the property owner take care of it?
I'd have to refer to Public Works. I don't believe it's the property owner's responsibility if the tree is within the public right of way.
And just to be clear, we're fine with getting the tree out. We were just told by the tree vendors they weren't allowed to because it didn't belong to us.
Okay. I think that might involve some further investigation. Any questions for the applicant? Vice Chair Lewis?
I don't.
Member Siebert?
No questions for the applicant. Thank you.
Member Spaulding?
Not at this moment. I'd like to hear what the other public testimony is first.
Member Vovis?
Well, I know in regards to the tree, even if it was pruned really well, you might actually be able to get another car parked in that area. Maybe we can find out about if there's a low pole and service drop next to the tree. Is that are there plans to remove that when you rehab the building?
No, Jim, that's our understanding is that that pathway doesn't belong to us.
Okay. But are you planning new utilities for the building?
It will need new utilities. And also our architect, George Chabon's on, he can answer some of those.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Again, it's sort of a, where can you squeeze in, you know, where is there a possibility for some additional parking that I'm looking at here? But maybe two or three cars right along the, between A Street and Ruby, there's a possibility of three cars fitting there.
I believe we discussed it, but I don't think, and I may be wrong, but I don't think that the parking on the street could be counted towards our parking count.
Right.
Right. So that's why we didn't do anything with it.
Realistically, what people are going to do, I have a feeling they'd park along Ruby Street before they'd dare to cross A Street. That's pretty treacherous.
Yeah.
Stood there, watched it, and I thought, you know, that's like really dangerous. The idea of crossing that street, and folks would probably just park and stay on Ruby Street. But okay, we'll wait to hear from the architect. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if I can, real quick, also next door to our building, there's going to be the new development. And then adjacent to the building is also the new park, recreational San Lorenzo Creek. All of that is going to be there as well.
Thank you. Next speaker, please, Steph.
Okay, I will allow George to speak. He is the applicant. George, if you want to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. How is everybody doing? Thanks for having me on. You know, with respect, I'm just going to comment on something. If there's a specific question you want me to approach first, I'm happy to do that. But I'm just going to comment on the parking and on the site plan. Okay, so, you know, when I put this together, we want to be somewhat realistic. You know, I do a lot of commercial development in the retail and hospitality industry. And I could tell you that, you know, like the trash enclosure in some of these spaces are going to be necessary for things like trash pickup, an electrical transformer, you know, if necessary, a sprinkler riser, you know, things that require site area. And I think the one thing we all sort of agreed as a team to do was to take out the curb cut along A Street just because it's dangerous. And I don't think it really adds to the quality of the parking area. So with that, I feel like this is the most optimistic we can get in terms of minimizing what I would call support area for the site to maximize the parking. I wouldn't dare take any more space up just because I think this is really pushing it as it is. That being said, regarding the bicycles, there would be opportunities to put in some bike racks, you know, where in any part of the green area or along A Street, for instance, where we might be able to put some bike parking pylons. And again, along Ruby Street. So that's that aspect. With respect to the trees, the street trees along Ruby Street will definitely have to be replaced. They're destroying the sidewalk at this point and pretty much unsavable. I know there was talk of another tree nearby. Not sure where that one is, but anyway, so that I just wanted to comment on those points. If there's anything else specific you want me to address, let me know.
Thank you. Questions, Member Vovis?
No, the other question was just on whether there was any information on the existing utility pole and service drop that's also next to the tree.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we did have this looked at by a mechanical, electrical, and plumbing engineer. I think there's a high likelihood that if an operator or two come in to assume control of this site, the power required would probably trigger needing a transformer. Whether or not the utility drop would come from the same pole or from somewhere else or go underground, hopefully not require a vault. If we can get overhead power through a weatherhead, that would be ideal. Vaults can get quite expensive, but yeah, you know, we haven't really dug that far into it to really get into the weeds, so to speak, of the utilities. But I think what's important to really understand is that there are, you know, repeating myself a little bit here, there is a requirement of a significant amount of site area to address, you know, the function of these businesses that would use this space. And I think what you see, like I said, is the most optimistic view we can expect, where there's just going to be a need for certain things to be on the ground, hopefully being partially or fully concealed with vegetation. And to your point, the bike racks are one of those features, along with things that are less attractive, like plumbing or gas, junction lines and transformers, trash pickup, recycling. Those all require a significant amount of area.
Right, thank you.
Member Spaulding?
I may have additional questions afterwards, but I just want to confirm the project's commitment to the preserving the facade and also perhaps including a plaque, a historical plaque.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we had talked about. It came up during one of our earliest meetings with the advisory council from the public speaker. I think it's something that's relatively easy to incorporate. We'd like the opportunity to modify it. If you go to, you know, the elevation sheets on A6.00, you know, the front elevations, we can maintain the brick facade. It'd be great to add more glazing, at least on part of it. If you look at 3D view of the front, we actually modified that to have a little bit more of the original facade showing rather than too much glazing. As you can see along the side, I mean, that's where we're adding a bulk of the glazing to make really change the character of the building to be more of a public interface, something inviting and commercial and in less warehouse. But yeah, to your point, I think a lobby plaque, whether it's inside one of the restaurants or inside the office lobby, that's fine. It's something we'd love to, you know, work on. But yeah, I think what would be important to me is the architect would have some amount of freedom to augment the front facade with windows appropriate, glazing appropriate to the use behind it. But other than that, we're happy to, you know, work with keeping some of the original.
I think the operative verb is augment.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I have one more question for George. George, are you planning to have this be a LEED building?
You know, at this point, I think that's up to the owner. A lot of, you know, the new codes that are coming out in 2023 for energy use is going to be very significant when it comes to restaurant and hospitality uses in terms of lighting, energy use, things like that, insulation. So, you know, California's green building standards codes has sort of followed the LEED principles, which I was LEED accredited back in 2004. So I was one of the early architects to kind of get on board with that. So I've sort of watched California slowly adopt LEED principles. And I but whether or not we would go further than that would be something for the owner to chime in on.
Okay, I was just wondering, because that's another plaque opportunity, that since we're talking about plaques, because, right. Whether or not you're going to have a lead plaque or not, you know. But like you said, maybe that's a lead equivalent because of Cal Green, and that won't be something you opt for. I was just curious. Thank you.
Member Siebert?
No, I don't really have a question. I was just more of a comment that I think with the trying to get the 15 parking spaces in there, I mean, I'd like to see that work. So I'm hoping that, you know, that this actually can come to fruition, because I think it's a great idea. I don't know how they could ever squeeze any more in there looking at what we have to work with, but I think the layout looks pretty darn good. That's all I had.
Thank you. Vice Chair Lewis?
I don't really have a question. I just have a comment. The 3D view of the front of the building shows outside the seating along A Street. I can't imagine eating lunch or dinner sitting outside virtually on that busy A Street. So the architect or the owner may think about that twice to really.
You know, that's an interesting point. And I think that when we were discussing originally, like way back in the beginning, the idea of the roof deck, I think the idea, and you know, like I said, we work on a lot of commercial hospitality projects. Outdoor seating, even with the pandemic sort of winding down, let's hope, is becoming an expectation rather than an amenity, which is what it used to be.
Yes. So
I think what we're trying to show and depict here is we want to get outdoor seating for whatever, to ensure their survival over time, if nothing else. So opportunities, you know, you can have planters or screens to mitigate sound, canvas roll down screens, things like that, if traffic noise coming from A Street. But really, aside from a few cars with, you know, problematic mufflers trudging along, it's actually kind of, you know, I think that A Street's given a bad rap. And I think aside from the traffic flow of having a curb cut on A Street, which that was the first swing we addressed, I think the opportunity to have street, you know, a more public interface where you have people eating on the street is something that I think should be encouraged, because it brings people out to the forefront and it makes it less of this sort of like, well, what a wonder what that is, you know? So I'd like to think that there's ways to mitigate some of the concerns you have, but that seating out front would actually be a net positive for the neighborhood.
I would think that some vehicular protection is probably give folks peace of mind. Traffic is, I mean, cars really whiz.
They
whiz
do
there, and it's a little scary. If you wanted to sit out there with a stroller, yeah. I certainly wouldn't do it unless there was a barrier, a vehicular barrier.
Yeah,
then it would work, and it would activate the building. I agree. With protection.
A lot of people have been waiting for public testimony.
Oh, I'm done.
Any other questions of the speaker? All right, staff, can we move on to the next speaker, please?
Yes. Okay, Dr. Marlena Rose Silva, I'm going to allow you to speak. You just have to unmute yourself.
Hello?
We can. Hi.
Hello. Thank you, everybody, for having me here. Thank you for this opportunity to speak in honor of the Ohlone peoples, who are the indigenous, the original peoples, the caregivers of these lands. They have fought to defend this land, specifically this area. They have spoken to protect this area and not have any development. If you go back to public hearings for the adjacent parcel known by the community as Ruby Meadows, right there just behind this proposed site, on Ruby Street. They said that to develop this land is to perpetuate the genocide of their people. Because for us Indigenous people, we are part of this land. The land does not belong to us. We belong to her. So to develop, in other words, to destroy, to commit murder to our relatives, yes, we see the soil, we see the water, we see the trees, we see the plants, we see all the living beings as our relatives, the insects in the ground who you plow when you plunder and rape our Mother Earth. We see those as our relatives. And if you had in your hearts any connection to this land like we do, you would know that you are perpetuating the genocide of Indigenous peoples here and on this continent, and you're perpetuating the genocide of all living beings. Beings, not things, like Western science calls them, not natural resources, like Western science calls them, but our relatives, all of our relatives. And so the community, even environmentalists, I'm a member of the board of the Ohlone Audubon Society and a friend of San Lorenzo Creek, and as some of you on this board know who have helped to speak out against development here, as this is a riparian oak woodland and wildlife corridor where migratory species need it and special status species and need this land. You have, it is Creek, it is the most important place to protect against climate change. And I recognize people on this board who fought with the community, who fought hard for at least 2 years to stop any development in this area. And hard went behind our backs and cooperated with the developer to get a letter signed to agree to purchase the adjacent parcel and put in parking and so-called landscaping. You cannot play God and reconstruct this land to suit yourselves and exercise dominion, as your Bible talks about, to have dominion. Stewardship is dominion. We care give. So as women on this board, you are literally disrespecting other women, because Earth is a woman, our mother. We call her our grandmother in many of our tribes. In my tribe, we say our grandmother. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh. Were there any questions of the speaker? I think she may have left. Staff, next speaker, please.
Okay, Kelly, I'm going to allow you to speak.
Okay, thank you. So this is virtually this entire lot, the 15,000 square feet, almost all of it is paved. And, you know, if I'm trying to align this development with what if somebody went in here and built a new building here? I can't imagine that anybody would allow you to pave over the whole lot and not allow any permeable space. So, you know, it would be nice if somebody thought about how to, you know, open up the pavement a little bit. And then if you talk about 40 parking spaces, the insanity of parking in Alameda County is epitomized here by this 40 parking spaces requirement. So, you know, if you actually tried to park 40 cars, you would need something like the entire lot, forget including the building area, would be enough to accommodate 40 cars. So, you know, the outlandish, you know, extravagant parking requirements, you know, it's ridiculous. Off-street parking requirement. And if you look around, you know, and you say, oh, we got to put the cars somewhere, we're going to park, have people park on the neighboring streets. Well, it turns out that Alameda County, especially A Street right here, is a great example, and North Fifth Street and Ruby Street. These things, they don't even have sidewalks. So people park up on the sidewalk. And then when, you know, the disrepair, the ugliness of Alameda County development is on full display right here at this corner. Because when you go to these dirt sidewalks, you guys have even left telephone poles right in the middle of the sidewalk in the dirt, so that if people actually did try to walk down the street or down the sidewalk or bicycle or whatever they do on sidewalks, they would run into the telephone poles again. It happens all over the place in Alameda County, and much less so in cities like Hayward, where they actually put in sidewalks and they try to keep the telephone poles out of the way. And by the way, across street on A Street, there's this giant, another acre and a half of paved parking lot, or I don't know what it is, empty space, paved, bordering the creek, an acre and a half across the street. Why, you know, crazy stuff. And then behind this thing, on the east, on the west side, you know, that ugly lot, you've got junk cars. You've got houses falling apart. It seems like code enforcement doesn't get out there and enforce anything. They only kind of selectively enforce. So you have junk stuff piling up on the neighboring parcels. This is a pretty good development. I think there's a lot of potential here for prettying up this corner, which is very ugly now. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions of the speaker? Member Spalding?
I gather you're in support of the variance for 15 parking spaces there.
That is correct. I am in support of the variance.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for the speaker?
No.
All right, staff, next speaker on this item, please.
Okay.
There's Ann Maris.
Dr. Ann Maris, I'm gonna allow you to speak. You have to unmute yourself.
Hi, Ann Maris here. I'm a biochemist and educator. I live in the area. And I have a lot of comments, so I won't dwell on any of them for any amount of time. This corner historically has been commercial, so it really makes no sense to slow this developer down as far as letting him get going with the business. You know, the only reason it wasn't commercial for 6 months is because the previous owner died. He was a Strobridge descendant. This is a historic location. The Parks, Rec, and Historic Commission held no vote. So I don't know, I disagree that they were in support of the project. And you left out the fact that they decided to create a subcommittee to determine the boundaries of a potential historic district there. So that's important. The problem with this project, where this has great potential to be a fabulous, the best place on the whole street and really integrate, is that it doesn't integrate with the neighborhood. This area is commercial. It's going to be, the off-street parking was already approved for the adjacent project, where this will be directly next to 109 parking spaces. I think they allowed up to 30 on the street there. So that whole project, that's the Save Ruby Meadow project, is wrong. That this was all passed during COVID. This area is just being determined to be a SB 1000 environmental justice neighborhood. That's not being considered at all. Across the street in Hayward, developments are planned right next to the creek. This is an Ohlone site, CA-ALA-566. In their CEQAs, which they evaluated, they state that this is of high importance. So when we're closer to that, why is it of less importance? That doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of other sites here. The street tree ordinance is our only tree protection, so that has to be considered. The parking, in addition, this would violate, no variance should be given, no project should be considered. This is premature because this wouldn't meet design standards, where 25% has to be landscaped. The bike path is directly in front of this. There's no parking allowed there. This should be parking. And if we would look, if this would integrate with the hard trail plans, where two trails, the San Lorenzo and the Foothill Trail, are planned to coincide there, we would see that the bike path is going to be on the other side of the street along the creek. This isn't a safe place to cross. And it's required to be per the public housing that's being put in there, funded with Measure A1 voter money, which requires voter approval, which the project does not have. They have to have this kid, our school was just closed. Kids are gonna have to cross that busy street, to elementary school kids to go to school. So there's a whole lot of problems here that aren't being considered in context of what's going on in the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Spalding?
So what is your, I am unclear about what your position is on the project.
My position is that this has been commercial. It should be commercial. It always was commercial. It's a historic building for many reasons. And that no parking variance and no project should be approved until the Historic Commission has a chance to evaluate this being a historic district until the what an SB 1000 neighborhood means, you know, that's environmental justice elements just being written now for the general plan. So, and they're requesting a general plan amendment. So, I mean, really, if I were the owner, I would sue the county and say this has always been commercial. And the only reason there's funny zoning there is because this was passed during COVID because of Ruby Meadow. So this was Caltrans adjacent. Robert Engel never sold to Caltrans. This was used as a piano warehouse until apparently he passed away during COVID and it was sold. So really, this has always been commercial and legally is commercial. So I don't understand any of that. There is a problem with the trees, with the landscaping, not meeting the design standards, not meeting the parking, that it should be historic, the Ohlone site. Any safety, this road's horrible. Any seating should be in the back where the creek is, where there's a mitigation site, the trees, say Ruby Meadow discovered the Western Red Bat there. In the rooftop dining, they have an opportunity to provide gardens, to provide a bat house for this critically something species of California species of critical concern that, you know, the Ruby Meadow effort just found. So this commercial project just needs to integrate with the neighborhood and acknowledge what it was to work more with HARD. You know, this is the segment HARD is trying to fund first because, you know, it's a real busy, dangerous area for people. And, you know, we just had a car go through the door at Trader Joe's, you know, a couple blocks down. So, you know, drunks are attracted to lights.
That was an elderly park. That was an elderly person who was parked in the parking lot.
Yeah, just, but imagine.
We can compare that and say that that's an example of traffic.
My example would, you're right. My example would be more drunks being attracted to light. And if you put light there, you know, it'd be real dangerous for someone could get, the whole group could be wiped out. It's just the bike path's going to be on the other side of the street. This should be parking. People would be protected, you know, if they were seated on the other side of the building. And this were parking over here. So I just think it's premature.
But the building is located where it's located.
Yes.
Are you suggesting moving the building or something? I mean, there's only so much space left with the building.
No, there's
not 40. There's not 40 parking spaces left with the building.
Well, the reason we're saying, the reason we're even considering a finite number of how many parking spaces is required is because we're presupposing that the project is approved. You know, this was a piano warehouse. So, you know, if we want to go to some kind of high density entertainment area, you know, there's lots of room behind the building, next to the building, all along, you know, Ruby, that's a public, you know, so there's a lot of ideas that aren't mine. I'm not going to be a proponent for the project because they're their own proponent. I'm saying that the project they're showing is not a good project for the neighborhood because it doesn't integrate with the neighborhood. For example, any of the code, any of the letters, the fire department, you're considering three issues. They only looked at one issue and they said that they really can't do it until they know what the plan is. They can't really go further. Parking didn't even reply yet from the county. This is just premature. You know, we need all those agencies to weigh in on this. This is a busy street. This is this was the Ohlone pathway to get from the bay to the hills. Then it was Spanish Road. Now it's our road, you know, a street of our whole community that it crosses the sound. It's near the historic, you know, the bridge right there. It's just the historic commission, like I said, they just said, and maybe you could check with staff, they just created a subcommittee to determine the boundaries of a historic district, including this site. So I think there was some requirement in there about being requiring.
You're saying the historical committee never took a vote?
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, we can follow up with staff. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions of the speaker? Okay. Thank you very much. And I think that concludes all the speakers. Is there anyone else who is here to speak on this item? The West County Board of Zoning Adjustments is hearing the variance to allow 15 parking spaces where 40 are required as part of a remodeling of the existing vacant building. All right, I'm going to close the public hearing. Are there any follow-up questions of staff? Vice Chair Lewis?
Yeah, I was interested to find out a little bit more about the Ruby Meadows project that's going to have or allow 30 on-street parking. So it's like right next door. So maybe there's not going to be extra street parking if this is a restaurant and only has 15 actual parking spots. And I'm a little concerned about the historical designation. Doesn't sound like it was finished. I'm not sure. I'd like a little more information on that for myself.
The historical Parks Recreation Historical Commission, they did vote to create a subcommittee, but all that takes time. So they are going to look into that, creating a historic district, an overlay district. And just like the plaque, they've been talking about it for many years to try to figure out an actual specific size and what should be written on there. And it hasn't been developed. So the applicant the owner had agreed to work with them as that evolved. Because there's not a strict black and white condition that staff can include without that being created. The Ruby Street project, I would have to look into that, but I believe it's low income housing, which when you develop projects for residential use for a certain, for lower income housing, that you get points and you get items that are deducted from your development. So I don't know how many parking spaces were considered or reduced from the residential project. I'd have to get back to you on that.
Yeah, and this is Rodrigo Dino with County Planning Department. Even with that development, this application is seeking relief from the current on-site parking requirement. They're not counting any on-street parking as their available parking for this use. They're just saying all we have room for is 15 spots. And this is, you know, cafes and neighborhood oriented businesses with a neighborhood oriented land use designation, which if we proceed with this project, which we intend to do, it would be neighborhood oriented type businesses, which are already designated a part of a standard zoning package. So that we're looking at not a regional draw, not a draw from all over the Bay Area. This would be, there would be on-site parking, but hopefully it would also be walkable to get here from the surrounding neighborhoods, as well as bikeable when we update the parking to include the on-site bicycle spots as recommended by the PRHC. So this project is intended to be independent of whatever parking conditions were resulting from the approved development to the northwest, the Ruby Street housing. They're requesting all we have room for to bring this existing prior commercial building. Yes, the callers mentioned this has been historically a commercial building. The zoning, for whatever reason, and the general plan, for whatever reason, designated this to be residential instead of commercial. Staff still thinks that because there is a private developer interest in making it commercial, let's go with maintaining the neighborhood commercial use. Let's get the regulations back in line with a historical commercial use. It would be a neighborhood commercial use. And in this case, because of what has been described as our very large parking requirements that perhaps are no longer as in line with more of a neighborhood commercial demand, staff recommends approval for reduction in the amount of on-site parking.
Okay, thanks, Rodrigo.
Member Siebert?
No, I don't really have any questions, more of a comment. So what I'm understanding, people have concerns that this is going to stick out as a commercial, you know, cafe and with limited parking, and maybe with to try to get it to blend in a little more, there maybe could be a landscape plan added to this, just kind of make it blend in a little bit better. I know there's going to be a park surrounding it with the bike path, and maybe that will just kind of bring it all together a little bit more. Just a thought. I think a landscaping plan might be a good idea.
I don't think there's any room for landscaping.
Yeah, that's a problem. That is
all parking. Yeah.
Although there is the suggestion, and I think the rooftop, having a rooftop restaurant, I think is a good idea. I mean, I think that's attractive. It addresses the safety issues, and also you can landscape your rooftop.
Right.
That's the in thing now. And that could so I think that would be helpful, having that landscaping on the roof with the dining. Because I agree with I think it was the architect saying there is that expectation nowadays. People prefer or like to have that option to sit outside.
Maybe the board members can notice on sheet A1.01, there is minimal amount of space for landscaping, for example, at the corner of A Street and Ruby Street, and some of the setbacks from the parking to the street, to the property line. But again, it's very minimal around the trash enclosure. Again, it's very minimal opportunity for landscaping. There would be the requirement that in those small amounts of spaces for landscaping that it is landscaped, and the developer has agreed. A lot of the landscaping would be, again, as stated before, on the roof with, you know, the outdoor seating, canopies for the tables and the potted plants and such. But that would be what's possible. And again, the site is fully developed. There's already an existing building, been there for decades. There's already parking out there, been there for decades, and a loading area in the back, been there for decades. There's no new development proposed.
Right, but unfortunately, you've got the situation of where for some unknown reason, there was a general plan amendment to have it designated residential low density.
Right. Yeah.
And so I don't know why that happened. Unless the motivation was to accommodate the affordable housing project, which is, I believe, over 100 units and has the requirement of approximately 100 parking spaces.
Well, it's
along the creek.
That's separate from this application, right?
Yes, so
this application, right. This application is to make sure, now that there is renewed interest in commercial
development. Yeah, I know, I understand, but maybe that was the motivation, so the reasoning why this ended up being rezoned as residential.
Maybe the residential was there prior to the application for multifamily housing, but we would, again, focusing on what the current intent is and what the current configuration of the parcel is, as well as the parcels to the north that creates this little commercial node. We hope to take advantage of the fact that the building is there. There's room for parking, although it's below the parking requirement, but there is the opportunity to have the commercial use as a neighborhood oriented cafe / other type of potential retail businesses on this existing building.
Okay, but how do you also justify the historical committee making this statement that the historical committee is having no issues when they never voted on it?
Right, so we are aware that they're looking at a subcommittee. There is no change to the building, right? So if you look at the existing building with the aerial shots of the building, and compared to the drawings and the street view, this is going to remain the configuration of the building. It's going to be brick exterior. It's going to be where you see the back roof that's lower than the front roof. That's where the exterior patio would be for the outdoor seating.
Right.
It's going to remain in its existing volume, not only the floor area, but the exterior. So the configuration of the building would not change. The character of the building would not change. The use of the building would remain commercial. And so if there is a determination that the building would be potentially historic, then the proposed use would not conflict with that. It would remain a commercial use with the existing, within the existing volume of the existing building, and it would be repopulated and reused with minimal exterior changes.
Right, but apparently the statement made is that they did determine there's no need for a CEQA initial study. But it sounds like they didn't, because if they didn't take a vote. So that's where I'm getting confused, other than to vote to create a subcommittee.
And Christine can clarify this for me. My understanding is that they did not consider this to be an immediate candidate for historical designation. They would look at the district to find out historical value of the district, but not the building.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Member Vovis?
I don't have any other questions.
Thank you. All right, anyone see any items to discuss, any changes to the staff report or any conditions of approval?
Well, I don't even see any. There aren't any really. There's just the 15 findings. The resolution is 15 parking spaces where 40 are required. It's dependent upon if the County Board of Supervisors approves the general amendment. But there's nothing about preserving the facade. And there's nothing on incorporating landscaping where possible.
Well, we can include those.
Yeah, that could be included.
This is Heather from County Council. On those types of conditions, and I know we discussed this recently when there was a subdivision application, it would be my recommendation that those types of conditions are better left to the hearing body that's hearing the actual, you know, approval for the use. And I know, and for that last application, we had staff include a recommendation from this body that you would like to see those conditions in their resolution. So that would be my recommendation here as well, because I'm not sure what the relationship is between a plaque, for example, and the request for reduced parking.
Well, I think that goes back to our first question of why are we hearing this first?
Yeah, I take the point, you know, one of the hearing bodies has to hear it first, and, you know, one's contingent on the other. You know, the variance can't be effective until the other application is granted. So you're taking this action, but it's still contingent upon, you know, the planning commission or the board approving the other application. So I take your point. You know, someone's got to go first. And I think that, you know, whether this very, very limited parking is allowed, to me, it's reasonable for this one to go first, because that's such a key to the entire site.
Well, my thought, though, is one of the reasons, though, the connection I would find to make it a condition of approval is that there's just no space. And that one of the reasons there's no space is because we have a building in an area that does, it does have history. And so in one of the reasoning, the basis to even grant the variance would be the preservation of the facade. That would be the connection, is so that the facade can be preserved and not knocked down. So for parking, because 40 parking spaces, I think there's no space on that entire lot for 40 parking spots. I mean, otherwise the whole lot would be parking and there'd nothing be on it but parking. Am I correct?
Well, it looks that way.
So right, so there is, if we were to require all 40 spots, then there would be no project.
Yeah, there'd be no space for a project. So that's why I think I can see the connection between the variance and the preservation of the facade, because that goes to the whole point, is we're trying to protect the building.
The legal requirement is that there's a nexus and a rough proportionality to any condition that's added to a...
Right, and that's the nexus. That's what I'm saying. Because the nexus is the building, because the building's occupying more space than is physically available for 40 parking spots. I think that, don't you think that's pretty legitimate?
I agree. I understand what Member Spaulding is saying. She is saying that we're only here because of the building. If they wanted to knock down the building, we would not be here.
Right. That's right.
So yeah. If they are trying to preserve the building, then we have to decide whether or not the preservation of the building and then the subsequent use of the building will allow it, and then we're going to allow reduced parking for that. So I think that you're right. For the preservation of the building, we would potentially say we agree that the variance is appropriate. And that's how I would phrase it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That and there's your nexus.
Right.
And for the board's information, there are the conditions of approval on the landscaping and such are on the zoning, on the rezoning, which is the enacting legislation that would, you know, additionally allow for the occupancy of the building as retail, as commercial, neighborhood-oriented commercial. So we did insert those conditions on the landscaping and preservation of the building, et cetera, all in the legislative action that would allow for commercial use of the building.
Yeah, right. But that's in another body.
Right.
And we're talking about our nexus.
Okay. Well, just, yeah. And so maybe, I don't know if, as council had mentioned, you may refer to that other, we could double up the conditions, I suppose. But
yeah, right. They could be duplicative. They're not adding more conditions. They're the same conditions.
Okay.
I would also recommend it on variance finding number one that we put in there, that for the preservation of the building, specifically its brick facade.
Right.
I see the connection that you're making for a nexus for the plaque for landscaping. I do have more of a concern that this body would, you know, insert a condition or require something that would conflict potentially with what the, you know, body considering the entire site and the entire use would have in a condition of approval. So I do have a concern about that, because, you know, items from this board aren't, you know, appealable to the Planning Commission. So you'd have two conflicting hearing bodies saying two conflicting things. And then, you know, I guess you'd have staff take that to the board for an appeal. But that, I think that for that reason, I'm willing to hear what the board has for reasoning, but I don't see the nexus with including, site development, landscaping at this point.
Okay, so you're not having issues over the preservation of the building, but you're saying the next question is landscaping.
That's right.
Okay, and so that, I think, again, is when we were talking about landscaping, though, is on top of the roof and to incorporate landscaping where possible.
Well, can't we make again, that recommendation?
Can't
we make that recommendation to the Planning Commission when they approve?
I think that's probably the direction that we would need to go, is that we make a recommendation that they include it in the rooftop terrace, in that corner area where the wherever utility, possible. Right. Yeah. And perhaps maybe in the pavement itself, maybe they can break it up and put, you know, in residential areas, you see all the pavers with the green in the middle. Maybe there's an opportunity for that.
And also bulbs. That's the other thing, is the concrete bulbs so that there's more space. And narrowing, so it's not a rate, it encourages slower traffic and not a race course. Okay.
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we approve variance application PLN 2021-00254, modifying variance finding number one, are there special circumstances applicable to the property which deprive the property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity under identical zoning classifications? Yes, and I will keep everything. And then add a sentence that says, for the preservation of the building and specifically its brick facade, this would warrant relaxation of the number of required parking spaces for a building unit built in 1939. And then also with recommendations to the next hearing body, is that the Planning Commission?
It has to be the Planning Commission.
Yes. To the next hearing body, that they adopt a comprehensive landscaping plan that includes the rooftop terrace, areas already landscaped, which we know of the tree area where the utilities are, any other locations on the property where pavement could be augmented with vegetation. And that said landscaping plan should also include some type of parking bulbs to protect the pedestrians. Anything else?
Or encourage pedestrians.
Or encourage pedestrians.
Okay, so is that...
That's my motion.
Right. And basically the modification on the preservation of the building is going under A, under the findings.
I'm putting it under the findings. Yes.
Right. Under A.
Yeah. That it's actually the preservation of the building.
Right.
That I find that it's appropriate to warrant the relaxation of the number of required parking spaces.
Right. And to preserve the facade.
Yeah, and specifically it's brick facade. Yes. Right. Yeah. So that is my motion. Is there a second?
Well, I'll second that.
Okay.
And then is there any other discussion though?
Yeah.
Because otherwise we can't discuss it unless it's second.
Any other discussion? Any other items?
Or thoughts.
All right. So there's a motion by the chair and a second by Member Spalding. Staff, can you take the vote, please?
Chair Clark?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lewis?
Aye.
Member Spalding?
Aye.
Member Vovis?
Aye.
Member Siebert?
Aye.
Motion passes 5 in favor, none opposed.
Thank you. And that concludes the regular calendar. Next is approval of minutes from the prior meeting, October 26, 2022. Any changes?
I don't have any.
No. I've come to rely on Member Vovis's eagle eye.
Yeah.
All right, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the draft minutes of October 26, 2022 as submitted.
Second.
The motion is from Member Vovis with a second from Vice Chair Lewis to adopt the October 26, 2022 minutes with no changes. Can you take the vote, please, Steph?
Chair Clark?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lewis?
Aye.
Member Spaulding?
I'm going to abstain because I didn't get a chance to read.
Member Siebert?
Aye.
Member Vovis?
Aye.
So four in favor, none opposed, and one abstention.
Thank you. Staff comments?
None at this time.
I have a comment. Today is going to be my last meeting with the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments. I will be with the county through the end of the month, but after that, I will be moving on. And it's been a pleasure to work with all of you over these years. And I can introduce Katie Hall, who's from my office, who's joined for the last half of the meeting today. And she will be taking over, and you'll be in great hands.
What are you, abandoning us, Heather? I mean, golly.
In your time of need, I know.
Not that I'm sure you won't miss us. I will. Oh, these guys, you wouldn't believe the questions they ask.
Oh, I have a feeling where she's going is going to be a lot more interesting.
Well, somebody will have to tell me that at some point.
Yeah. So, but thank you, Heather. You have been great in keeping us on the straight and narrow path. And I really appreciate all your counsel over the years. And I was trying to figure out how many years it's been. I think it's been longer than I think it's been.
Yeah, it's been over 8.
Yeah. Oh,
exactly. No. That's one of our longer running.
Yeah.
Yeah. My only regret is Kathleen got cupcakes on her last meeting. And
I know. Remotely. Well, you'll have to come back in February.
Yeah.
We can give you a proper goodbye.
Of having in-person meetings.
Yes. Yes.
And thank you, Heather. I yes, learned a thank lot you. From you over these years. So I really appreciate that. And yeah. Best of luck where you're going.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks bunch.
And Katie has her hand raised in the attendees. If you'll let her speak, she might introduce herself further.
We'll let Katie speak.
We won't put the timer on her.
Oh, thank you. I feel so honored. Gosh. Thanks, Heather. I will be taking over. I just signed into the public Zoom today because I had a conflict for today, but I'm very much looking forward to getting to know you all. And thanks. Talk to you all soon.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome.
Welcome, Katie.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. All right. Any board announcements, comments? Jewel mentioned earlier she may not be here for December 14th meeting. Is that right?
That's a distinct possibility.
Okay. Anyone else planning on taking that meeting off?
I don't think so.
No. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
So our next meeting is
December 14th. December 14th. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You guys too.
Thank you. All right. Till December. So the next meeting is December 14th, 2022, not what it says on the agenda, 12/14/22.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Well, with that, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.